Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us for this Bible teaching, this message. You know, some people say it's teaching, some people say it's preaching. I call it delivering the Word of God, the gospel. So I'm glad you could join us. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'll be preaching, teaching from Galatians chapter 2. My text will begin at verse 19 in Galatians 2. And I'm going to talk about this subject today, living unto God. Living unto God. Let me read these three verses and then make some comments. The Apostle Paul here, he's preaching to professing believers. He's writing to professing believers in the churches of Galatia. And he says, "For I through the law," this is verse 19, "I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God." Verse 20, he says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Living unto God. What is it to live unto God? You know, so many people today who are in religion, as professing Christians, they'll say, "Well, I want to live my life for God," or "I want to work for God," or "I want to live my life for the glory of God." Well, what does that mean? What does that involve? Well, the context of these verses here, in which the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Spirit, speaks of living unto God, that I might live unto God. The context here has to do with how sinners are justified before holy God. That's what he's talking about here. He talks about in verse 16 of Galatians 2. He says that knowing that a man is not justified before God by the works of the law. So whatever this justification is, it doesn't come by works under the law, a person trying to keep the law. In verse 16, he says, it comes by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now that's an important phrase there. You know, we often talk about having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly, true children of God are those who believe in, who trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And that faith, that trust, the Bible teaches, is not natural to us. It's not the product of our free will, as many people say, or our own inherent goodness, as if we're born naturally with some spark of goodness and we just need to find an eloquent preacher who can fan the flame with emotions and draw us down an aisle and all of that. That's modern religion. It's not biblical. Oh yes, we are to confess Christ. Don't get me wrong. But that's not the biblical way. But this faith in Christ is the gift of God. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So he says here in Galatians 2:16 that a man's not justified by works, but he's justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, what is the faith of Jesus Christ? Well, that's Christ's faithfulness to come to this world and do the will of his Father, do the work that he was given to do by the Father, and that work which he was commissioned and appointed and given to do before the foundation of the world, in the everlasting covenant of grace, that work that He was equipped to do in His incarnation. That's why God became a man. The Word was made flesh. You see, His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Well, how can He accomplish that? His name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So Christ was faithful to do what He was commissioned and sent to do. Well, what was He commissioned and sent to do? He was commissioned and sent as the surety and the substitute of God's chosen people, the people He claimed were given to Him, and to stand in their place as their substitute to keep the law unto death, obey unto death, to satisfy God's justice for them and establish the only righteousness whereupon God could be just to justify them. So what is it to be justified? Well, it's to be declared not guilty before God. It's the legal pronouncement, declaration of Almighty God, a holy and just God who must do right, that He looks upon His people, sinners, who deserve and earn nothing but condemnation and death, and He looks upon them and declares them not guilty, not condemned is what that means. It doesn't mean, you see, when we look at that word guilt, we have to make a distinction between moral guilt and legal guilt. Now, moral guilt, what I'm referring to there is the fact that I am the perpetrator. I am the criminal. I am the sinner. You see, if God were to judge me based upon my best efforts to keep the law, I would not stand. Lord, if Thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who would stand? So the only hope that I have for salvation is for God to look at me and say, not guilty, even though I am the perpetrator. What does that mean, not guilty? What's the legal guilt? That means no condemnation, no sentence of condemnation pronounced upon me. Why? Because I'm so good or I made a decision for Christ? No, because of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ to do what He did in my place. He took my death. He took my condemnation. He died, was buried, and rose again for me. And that's His faithfulness. And look at verse 16 of Galatians 2. He says, but by faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. In other words, because of Christ's faithfulness to do His great work, His people come to believe in Him. And He says, and not by the works of the law, go back. He said, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, the work of Christ, His faithfulness to accomplish the work, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So that's the context of this. And that's what He says. Now, He says in verse 19, He says, I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. In verse 20, the first part, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. So the first thing we know, according to the Scripture, about a sinner saved by grace, living unto God, is that it means first, he's dead to the law. That's number one. Living unto God means I'm dead to the law. Now, what does that mean? Well, I want you to go back to Romans chapter 6. Paul has a great explanation of what it means to be dead to the law here, as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write in Romans 6 here. But let me just say this. To be dead to the law means that the law cannot charge me or condemn me for my sin. I cannot be charged or condemned with my sin. Now, why is that? Is it because God loves me so much that He just says, forget about it, sweep it under the rug? I'm a merciful God and I just can't bear to see you condemned? No. God is a just God. He must punish sin. He cannot ignore it, deny it, or sweep it under the rug. Sin must be punished. The sinner must be punished. Well, how then can I stand before God without being condemned? Well, I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. How did that happen? I'm crucified with Christ. Now, what does that mean? That means Christ took my place. He suffered the full penalty of the wrath of God and paid my debt to God's justice for all my sins. My sins were imputed, charged, accounted to Christ. And I have His righteousness imputed, accounted, charged to me. So I stand before God, not guilty, and actually declared righteous, not by works, not by my works. A man's not justified by works of the law. And it's not even by my decision. My decision for Christ did not make me righteous before God. You know what makes me righteous before God? The blood of Jesus Christ. I quote this song, I quoted it last week, I quote this on What Can Wash Away My Sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Another verse in that song, this is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see, the death of Christ satisfied the justice of God and makes me righteous before Him. His righteousness charged, accounted to me. Now look at Romans 6, look at verse 3. And this is what it's teaching. This is what it is to live unto God. First, you must be dead to the law. He says in verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Now, the word baptized there is not referring to the gospel ordinance of water baptism. Many times in Scripture, the word baptized or baptism refers to water baptism. And that's an ordinance. That's a gospel ordinance of confession. That's how born-again persons, believers, confess Christ before men. In immersion, believers' baptism. Sprinkling and sprinkling babies will not, that's not New Testament baptism. That's false baptism. But the baptism is believers, water baptism is believers' baptism in an ordinance of confession. But here, the word baptized in the original literally means placed into. Now, sometimes we say it means immersion, and it does. But it means placed into. In water baptism, we're placed into the water. Not just from the waist up or not over a basin, but we go down. We identify with Christ and confess Him that when He died, we died. When He was buried, we were buried. We come up out of the water. When He arose again, we arose again. That's a confession. It's not salvation. There's no salvific power in the waters of baptism, as some denominate. That's a denial of the gospel. But it's a confession of something that's already taken place. But here, baptized means that we were placed into Christ, those who believe. Baptized into Jesus Christ. We're baptized into this. Now, how do I know that? Well, look at the context. Look at verse 4 of Romans 6. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. When Christ died, He died as the representative of God's elect people, God's chosen people. When Christ died, He died as the surety of God's people, God's chosen people. Their debt to God's justice was charged to Christ. He's their surety. Put it on His account. He became accountable, responsible for their debt. When Christ died, He died as the substitute for God's chosen people. And His death was the full payment for all the debt of their sins. The full wrath of God, Christ was made guilty, legally guilty, by imputation. And He went under the wrath of God. He became legally separated from the Father. I can't explain that. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In Matthew 27. He drank damnation dry. He suffered. You see, as the people of God, the chosen of God, they were ruined by the fall in Adam, into sin and death, they must be redeemed by the blood. And as a result of being redeemed by the blood, they will be regenerated by the Spirit. That's living unto God. Now, so when He died, I died. I didn't die personally, but I died in Him. He's my representative. He's my surety. He's my substitute. My sins imputed to Him. His righteousness imputed to me. When He was buried, I was buried. When He arose the third day, I arose the third day. So look at verse 4. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now this walking in newness of life refers to the new birth, which is a literal spiritual resurrection from the dead. You must be born again. We're born spiritually dead. We must be quickened by the Spirit. Ephesians 2:1, and you hath He quickened, given life, made alive, resurrected, regenerated. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And the evidence of that being quickened is this walking in newness of life. What does that mean? Walking in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Walking in repentance of dead works, idolatry, and sin. Walking in obedience, motivated by love and grace and gratitude. So look at verse 5 of Romans 6. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. In verse 6 he says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, our old connection with Adam in dead in trespasses and sin, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now jump across the page there to Romans 7 and verse 4. Now how did this... See, we're dead to the law. The law cannot condemn us. If we're in Christ now, that's not to everybody without exception. The law cannot charge... If I'm in Christ, the law cannot charge me with sin. I'm a sinner. But you know, David prayed in... Psalm 32, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. God doesn't... Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. It's Christ that died. And I'm charged with righteousness. I have righteousness imputed, charged to me. That's what Paul, when he was commenting on David's statement back in Psalm 32, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputed not iniquity. Paul stated it this way by inspiration of the Spirit, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. I have a righteousness. I can honestly, without embarrassment, tell you that I stand before God righteous. And you look at me and you say, well, wait a minute, you're a sinner. You're still suffering the consequences of sin. You still have to put up with the influence, the contamination of sin. And you're getting old. You're going to die. I can tell you're not perfect. I'm talking about how I stand before God, not in myself, but in Christ, my substitute, my surety, my representative, my advocate, my high priest, my mediator. That's what this gospel's all about. Well, how did all this come about? Look at verse 4 of Romans 7. Wherefore, my brethren, you are become dead to the law. Now underscore the next phrase. By the body of Christ. The death of Christ. That you should be married to another, even to Him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. In other words, all this happened, and it's all conditioned on Christ, and it's all based on His blood and righteousness, in order that we who are saved might stand before God, justified, dead to the law, righteous before God. And that's the foundation of living unto God. We'll go back to Galatians 2. Now look at it again. Paul says, in verse 19, I through the law am dead to the law. You see, Christ kept the law. God didn't throw away His law. He didn't deny His law. He didn't break His law. It's I through the law being kept, not by me, but by Christ. The law being honored, not by me, but by Christ. The law being fulfilled, not by me, but by Christ, my substitute. Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law, finishing, fulfillment, completion, perfection of the law, for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That I might live unto God, I'm crucified with Christ. Well, look at verse 20, living unto God. He says, yet, verse 20, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Living unto God is, number one, being dead to the law. Number two, it's living by the grace of God. My whole life. It's not by my power. It's not by my goodness. It isn't even by my will. Now, God has changed my will. He's changed my desires. But that's not the source or the cause or the goodness of this life that I live, living unto God. Christ is. He said, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. How does Christ live in His people? By His Holy Spirit and by His Word. The Spirit resides within His people, and the Word is written on their heart. That's the new heart, the regenerate heart. And they live by the faith of the Son of God. He is the power. He's the source. He's the vine. We're the branches. And we bring forth fruit. You see, we're not fruit producers or fruit inspectors. We're fruit bearers. We who are saved now. That's living unto God. And then thirdly, verse 21. Living unto God is living in the grace of God. Being dead to the law, living by the grace of God. He's the source. He's the vine. His people are the branches. Third, and that's why they can't be lost again, because it's all in Him. And then thirdly, verse 20, living in the grace of God. Verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. That word frustrate means to make void. There's a lot of people, as I said before, who claim to be saved by grace, who claim that salvation is by grace, but they frustrate the grace by other things that they believe and things they're ignorant of. For example, here somebody comes along, he says, I believe that salvation's all by grace, but you've got to be baptized in order to be saved. My friend, that's a denial of grace. That's making baptism a work of the law. If our right relationship with God, if our right standing with God comes by the law, whether it's baptism, circumcision, keeping this, doing this, not doing that, then Christ is dead in vain. You claim to believe in Christ. You claim that Christ is your salvation. But your very thoughts, your very ways of living, trying to make yourself righteous, trying to make yourself good enough to attain or maintain salvation, is a living testimony that you're saying Christ died for nothing. You see, my righteousness before God, and I often tell people this, I've been preaching this gospel for over 36, 37 years now. But all my preaching put together does not contribute one degree to the righteousness in which I stand before God. Righteousness doesn't come by my preaching. I preach righteousness because I preach Christ. I preach grace. My preaching does not save me. My preaching does not make me righteous. My preaching does not balance out the scales. My preaching does not earn me rewards in heaven, because I'm going to tell you something. The only reward believers receive in heaven is eternal life by Jesus Christ. That's so. If righteousness comes by the law, if you claim to be saved by grace, but you're trying to earn your way into God's favor in some way, to some degree, at some stage, you're not living in the grace of God. You're not living unto the Lord. You're living unto self. If self enters into the scheme of salvation as to attaining or maintaining salvation, then, my friend, you're not living unto God. Living to the glory of God is a beautiful thing, but it's all brought about by the grace of God. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto, not because of, but unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And as we live our lives, as believers live our lives as witnesses of Christ, as disciples of Christ, understand, living unto the Lord is not trying to draw attention to ourselves, but it's trying to point sinners to Christ. It's glorifying Him, honoring Him, giving Him the preeminence. He's everything, I'm nothing. John the Baptist said it, "Christ must increase, I must decrease." My old pastor used to say that preaching the gospel is pointing sinners to Christ and then the preacher getting out of the way. And I like that. Don't follow me. Don't come to me. Don't use me as your standards too low. Somebody said, "Well, I wish I could be like brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so." My friend, you're aiming too low. I don't care who brother so-and-so or sisters. Look at Christ. He's the goal. And the only way that I have any hope of salvation, any hope of being justified, any hope of being not guilty, any hope of being righteous, or any hope of having life, spiritual life, eternal life, to live unto God, is by the grace of God, which reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. There is no other way. There is no other avenue. There's no other true religion. This is it. None other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Christ said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's what it is to live unto God and for His glory. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.